In John 16, Jesus tells us where to put our hope. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Christ offers us eternal bliss in heaven, but that doesn't mean we won't have some troubles in this world. Today, host Rob West welcomes Compass founder and author Howard Dayton for a hopeful message about life's difficulties. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, facing the storms of life, next on MoneyWise Live. Rob, if ever we've had a guest who always greets us with a cheerful heart, it's Howard Dayton. Maybe he knows something that some of us forget now and then.
Well, there's no question about that, Steve. Howard, welcome back. We're so delighted to have you with us on the program.
Just wonderful to be with you, Rob.
Well, it's a joy for us as well. And Howard, we're taking a look at a chapter in your book, Your Money Counts, one of our favorites, of course. It's called Crisis, The Storms of Life. And you begin with a story that would be devastating to all parents. I certainly know, being a parent, how painful this would be. Tell us that story.
Well, Rob, we were in the process of adopting our second newborn baby. His name was Andrew. He was just gorgeous. And when he was about 2 or 3 months old, we thought he might have trouble with his sight. So we took him to a friend, an ophthalmologist, to check him out. He told us that he was blind because the optical nerve was dead, and that we should take him to a pediatric neurologist because he sensed something wasn't just right. The long and short of that was that he was only born with the stem of his brain. We discovered later that his birth mom had been taking hard narcotics during the pregnancy. Wow. Andrew lived to be 7. He was about 2 feet long, stiff as the board. He was becoming hydrocephalic. It was a really challenging time, and we just loved him like crazy. But it was an emotionally exhausting experience for us as a family. I can remember the time that my wife, Bev, got a phone call. It was for her, and she was so exhausted that she didn't know that she was home. So it was a challenging time.
Oh, I can only imagine, Howard. You know, it's a great reminder that difficulties can come in all shapes and sizes. Did you certainly take that away from that season?
We sure did. You know, some challenges build slowly. They can be anticipated. Other challenges appear without warning. Some are resolved quickly. Others are chronic. Some reflect the consequences of our actions. We make a dumb decision. Yeah. Others are completely beyond our control. So when you think about it, Rob, some crises impact an entire nation, like we're going through right now. Yes. Others are isolated to us as individuals. And Rob, as you well know, a crisis often involves money, job loss, you know, the pandemic where businesses and jobs are lost, a major illness, death of a family member. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just these difficult times really can exert major pressure on us and on our finances.
Howard, I know in just a moment after the break, you're going to take us into God's Word and encourage us during a time of crisis. But you mentioned something about marriages and the stress that can be caused by challenging times on your marriage. What did you learn in that season as you journeyed with Bev that you might share with us today related to our marriage specifically?
I think communication is really so key. Set aside a period every single day that the two of you can talk, not to argue, not to fight each other, which can often happen when you're in the middle of a real crisis, but just to communicate with each other, express how you're feeling, which is pretty tough for guys, as you know.
Yes.
But really, what's going on with you? How can I best serve you? How can I be the best husband or the best wife that I could possibly be for you?
That's the voice of Howard Dayton, author, teacher, and the former host of this very radio program. If you're just tuning in, we're discussing the spiritual and practical principles that'll help you manage your money better so you'll have more to spend, more to save, and more to give. I'm Steve Moore. Our host is Rob West. We'll be back with more after this brief break. 800-525-7000.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you stop and think about it, everyone has a God. For some, it's the earth. Others look to the stars. Some follow the teachings of people who are dead. Others believe in people who are alive. Money or the hope of more money is God for some. Still others think their intelligence and intellect is God. Let me ask you this. Can you see your God working in your life? I don't mean, is your God motivation for you to make your own life better? Can you tell an outside force stronger than yourself is changing your life? Changing it in ways you never could by yourself? Did your God die for you? If you had to answer no, then maybe you've got the wrong God. Why don't you do what I did? Call on God in the name of Jesus. He will answer. The question of your soul is at stake. Can you afford to have the wrong God? Call on God in the name of Jesus. He will answer.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, glad you're with us today on the program. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And joining us by telephone, actually, I guess they say phone, cell phone, whatever it is, string and cans, whatever he's got set up today, is author, teacher, the founder of Compass Finances God's Way, Howard Dayton.
Howard, we're talking today about facing a crisis and how we navigate that, recognizing the storms of life come in different shapes and sizes, and it's all about our response and how we lean into the Lord in these seasons. We have to know God's role in a crisis. So take us into God's Word. What would you have us to know about where the Lord is in these times?
Well, you don't face the crisis alone, Rob. You have to remember Jesus is with you every step of the way, even though they're painful steps. And really, it boils down to knowing God's role in a crisis. Nothing's more important than knowing who God is, his love, his care, even his control of every event that you're ever going to face. And really, only the Bible reveals the true extent of God's involvement in our challenges. If you or I have an inadequate or even a warped view of God, his purposes, then we won't fully learn from our challenges. And what can even be worse is that we forfeit his peace, contentment, even joy that the Lord makes available to us during these times. And I love what John 4:8 says. God is love. Simple, to the point. God loves you. He's going to love you throughout your whole life. He remains intimately involved with you as an individual. And in any crisis, it's just so important to remember God's unfailing love, his faithfulness, because it's so easy to become discouraged and even lose hope in those challenging times. It's easy to forget God's love, his care, especially when adversity first strikes or it goes on and on for what feels like an eternity. I think Jeremiah, sums it up really, really well. He was in a bad place. He said in Lamentations 3, "I remember my affliction, my wanderings, the bitterness of my soul is downcast within me." I mean, he was in a very dark place.
Yes.
But then he remembered the Lord. And he said, "But this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Because the Lord's great love were not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."
What a great reminder for us if that's the season we find ourselves in. And Howard, perhaps one of the most difficult things to understand and process is that God has a way of allowing experiences to shape us. Perhaps he's allowing us to go through something that's going to draw us closer to him or do a work in our life that in the bigger picture is so key to our development. I know you have a profound illustration that perhaps could help us understand that concept.
Yeah, in nature, Rob, there's the Cecropia moth, which emerges from its cocoon only after a very long, exhausting struggle to free itself. And there's a story that one day a young boy discovered the cocoon, carefully slid it open to help the moth escape. The moth came out, but its wings were shriveled. They just couldn't function. And what the little boy didn't realize was that the moth's struggle to liberate itself of the cocoon was essential for developing its wings, its ability to fly. And I know from personal experience that adversity has a part to play in our lives as well. God uses those difficult, sometimes heartbreaking times to mature us in Christ. And I love what James 1 tells us. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Hmm. And I know, Rob, from the 5-year journey of walking with my wife, Bev, when she had the breast cancer, which spread to her bones, which is a very painful type of cancer, that I'm a different person. After she went home, I had the opportunity to evaluate what happened in my life during those times. And I'm a much more committed follower of Christ, love people more than I did before that occurred.
Wow. Would you also say, I'm back to that verse in James when he mentions trials of many kinds. Would that also include financial trials or financial difficulties that God would use to grow us, strengthen us, and maybe even discipline us? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. No question about it. That's one of the most common challenges that people face. And I love what Romans 8 tells us, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And again, in Hebrews 12, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Mm-hmm. Yet to those who have been trained by it, listen to this, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And, the Lord doesn't make any mistakes. He knows exactly what he wants you to become, Steve, or Rob, or me, or every one of our listeners, and he knows exactly what's necessary to produce that result in our lives.
That's so good. Howard, just a couple of minutes left. Let's talk practically for a moment for someone listening who finds themselves in a crisis financially. We talked about God's role. What is their role? What next step should they take in this financial crisis?
Well, I think the number one thing, Rob, is to trust in the Lord. You know, He loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. And then the second thing is to make sure that you know what God says about handling money, and then to do it. I mean, it's that simple. You know, knowing is only half of the equation. You've got to apply what you've learned. And that's why MoneyWise is so incredibly important to God's people, especially during a time like we're a season like we're in now as a nation.
Yes.
To know what God's word says, to apply it. And really one of the biggest things that you know, that people tend to default to in the midst of a crisis is fear, which means that they tend to hold on to things more tightly. They become less generous. And one of my favorite passages is Acts 11. The prophet Agabus, through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. You know, a famine is a real pandemic. Disciples, listen to their response. Each according to his ability, decide to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. Instead of holding on, because they knew that famine was going to impact them, first thing they did was grab their checkbook for those living in Judea who knew the Lord.
Wow, what a testimony they gave even in that difficult season. Howard, you're such an encouragement to us, my friend. Appreciate you stopping by to bring us this word today.
Thank you, Rob. Love the time with you and Steve.
All right, love you too.
Always great advice and great fellowship. Howard Dayton, you can find out more about him at his website, compass1.org, and we'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
A banner served three different purposes, three primary purposes I want to share with you. The first one we've already implied, it's identification. In other words, that particular banner, you would see banners used, you see it over and over again in the book of Numbers, that the tribes themselves were to have their own particular banners that were to go in front of them. They would have carriers of the banners that would go as they made their way through the wilderness, and as they would make their way into any kind of battle, they were to have their own standard, their own banner. Remember, we can interchangeably use those words. So it was identifying that group. Then the one banner, you think, well, what was the main banner? That's what the passage is telling us. It was the Lord himself. The Lord is their banner. Then the specific tribes had their own, but the overall banner was the Lord himself. So it identified them. One of my favorite passages in the epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy is when it says, the Lord knows those who are his. We may sit back and we just may really struggle over assurance with our salvation, but God's not struggling with it. He knows for sure that either we are part of his family or we have still refused that or resisted that and stayed back from it, no matter how churchy, no matter how much we like good Christian music. He knows that. And it, literally, we rally under that banner.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. The online experience is now available at bethmoore.org. Join Beth for Now That Faith Has Come, a study of Galatians at bethmoore.org. And thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, good to have you along for the ride today. It's MoneyWise Live. Rob West taking your calls and questions on anything financial, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, giving you the phone number, 800-525-7000. We have some open lines, so this is typically this is one of our busier days, so if you want to get in with a question or a comment right now, this would be a great time to do it, 800-525-7000, and let's begin by going to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Joe, welcome to the program. How can we help you, sir?
Hello, thank you for your program.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I got a question. Yes, I got a question. I've got a sale of a business coming up soon, and it's going to yield millions of dollars, and I'm in between churches right now just because it happens that way. But I have to tithe on this money, and I'm not sure how to tithe. This is a really large lump sum. It's going to be well over $1 million.
Yeah.
How do you deal with something like that?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Joe. I love that you're asking this. And if I understand correctly, the sale has not gone through yet. Is that right?
No, not yet. It'll be at the end of this month.
Okay, awesome. Well, time is short, but there may be something for you to consider here. First of all, I love the idea that you're thinking about giving now. Obviously, the Lord has blessed you. You've got this business sale. It's a significant sum of money you're obviously selling this business for, and you want to be able to give to the Lord, perhaps to your church, and maybe even beyond that, and that's phenomenal. I think as believers stewarding God's money, we should be thinking that way, really asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And clearly that's on your mind and on your heart. What I want to suggest to you, though, is, and I love the fact that you're there in Fort Lauderdale. It's my old stomping ground, but I happen to know the team at the National Christian Foundation, South Florida, right there, probably down the street from you. And I'd love for you to visit with them, because here's what I'd like for you to consider if you want to do some giving from this sale, and clearly you do. There's really an innovative solution that allows you to donate non-voting interest in your business to the National Christian Foundation, or more appropriately, to a donor-advised fund that you would open, again, equal to the percent of the business you want to give, you intend to give. But in doing so, by donating those shares prior to the sale of the business, you'll get a far greater tax deduction, perhaps reduce or even eliminate capital gains taxes on the gifted interest, and convert those tax dollars into even more giving. And once that's then in your donor advised fund following the sale, equal to the percentage that you gift to the donor advised fund, then you would be able to distribute that money and direct it to whatever ministries, charities, not-for-profits you want in whatever time frame you want. So not only would you end up with more money that you could give unto the Lord, but then you could disperse it either in your name or anonymously, almost like a charitable checking account right online, to your church or to whatever ministries you would like. And so I think it's a way to get more money into the kingdom and really maximize your giving by doing this prior to the sale. And again, what I would do, and there'd be no cost to you to do this, is just sit down with the folks at NCF there in South Florida and talk about what that would look like, just so you understand how that would work. The key, though, is to get on that quickly, because that's all got to be set up prior to the sale going through. Does that make sense to you, though, Joe?
Somewhat, yeah. I don't understand the part about giving them stock in the company. I'm not sure how that works, but I'm sure when I call National Christian Foundation, They'll explain that to me.
Well, it's actually quite simple. It sounds more complex than it is. And if you do this, my producer is going to get your information. Deb is going to capture your information. I'm going to send you an email with just a 2-page PDF that describes how this works. But I'll also connect you with the team at NCF. And perhaps you all could sit down over a cup of coffee or something, or even virtually, and talk through this in more detail. But I love the way you're thinking, Joe. God bless you in this sale, and can't wait to hear what he's going to do with you.
Rob, for those who have never heard of the NCF, and we've talked about them a lot on this program, had representatives on our program, give us just a quick thumbnail of who they are, how long they've been around, how much money they've disseminated worldwide.
Yeah, well, Steve, National Christian Foundation actually was one of the founders, along with Terry Parker and Ron Blue, was the late Larry Burkett, which is pretty exciting to think about. 63,000 charities and churches have been supported by NCF over the years that they've been around, more than $12 billion in grants to ministries since 1982 have gone out through the National Christian Foundation, and in many of cases through donor-advised funds as well as complex gifts. So they are the authority, if you will, on wise Christian giving. And that's why if you want to know how to give wise, give smart, maximize your giving, especially here at the end of 2020, you'll want to be in touch with NCF either locally in one of their many offices around the country or their national office. Here's the website, ncfgiving.com.
Okay, yeah, great end-of-the-year recommendation. Rob, a quick email from Debbie. I'm 62 years old, will retire at 67. I have two retirement accounts that total $50,000. My son is the beneficiary. Do I need a separate life insurance policy for him? I have one now that's whole life. If I cancel it out, I'll receive enough to pay off my last credit card and be debt-free. Should I do all of this? What do you think?
Yeah, interesting. So two retirement accounts, your son is the beneficiary. Do you need a life insurance policy for him? Here's what I would say. You know, if he is depending upon you for support, meaning if you're covering his expenses, he's currently a dependent, either because he's a minor or because he's a lifelong dependent, therefore he has perhaps special needs, then absolutely you'll need to think about a long-term care policy, a permanent insurance policy that's going to cover him for the remainder of his life to make sure if something were to happen to you, he has what he needs. So I would visit with an estate plan attorney to talk through that and make sure that he's protected. If he's not a lifelong dependent, then only for such a time as he's living with you and depending upon you for his financial sustenance.
Good. Thanks, Rob. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Ryan Koch, a youth ministry major at the Moody Bible Institute. The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Things are always happening at Moody Radio. God is at work in listeners all around the world. Our monthly online newsletter, Uplift, has changed in order to bring you more listener stories, more program updates, and more listening resources. Be among the first to know about Moody Radio's ongoing outreach. Check out the all-new free e-newsletter, Uplift. Subscribe right now. Go to mymoodyradio.org, mymoodyradio.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. New York City's mayor says he's closing schools to try to stop the renewed spread of the coronavirus. It's a painful about face for one of the first big U.S. school systems to bring students back to classrooms this fall. The mayor and school's chancellor announced the school buildings will close on Thursday. Another lashing of strong winds expected in northern Nevada has raised concerns about reviving a wildfire that roared through a neighborhood in Reno in similar weather a day earlier. Those flames on Tuesday destroyed at least 5 houses, damaged 15 others, and forced people to flee from hundreds of homes. 2 firefighters were injured but have been treated and released. Stocks fell on Wall Street today. The Dow dropped 345 points, the Nasdaq off 97, and the S&P 500 fell 41. This is SRN News.
Finding God's financial plan for you, not always easy, but kind of critical as you go through life to have a target and know what God's will is for you. And if we can help you in that regard, I mean, we've all been there. Give us a call today. Open lines available at 800-525-7000, Valparaiso, Indiana. Hello, Cody. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I've been listening to this show since Larry Burkett. I got
you're not that old, Cody. Cody, you're not that old, buddy. Yes. Are you?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, thank you for hanging in there with us.
I was awarded a stroke. Sorry to say, it was because of a divorce, yeah. And I just got. And so I was wondering. I have a few credit cards. The average amount is $3,400. And I was wondering, would it be wise to pay those off with some of that money, and then roll it over to the IRA first, and then take an early withdrawal to pay off. That's 3 at the most. Yeah.
Sure. Well, for the benefit of our listening audience, Cody, a quadro is a qualified domestic relations order. This is, as you said, found in a divorce agreement. This obviously entitles one former spouse to receive a portion of another spouse's assets. And, you know, as you look at your financial life, Cody, and really pray and think through where the Lord would be taking you, I think, you know, you really need to look at what he would have for you to do with his money. And we can go to God's word and begin to explore those priorities, beginning with an understanding that God owns it all and that you're a steward. That's really a key and really a fundamental idea that you need to embrace. And as a steward, then pray through where the Lord would take you. Clearly, you need to have a spending plan so you can live within God's provision and not outside of it, which would result in adding more debt in the future. Secondly, you want to have a reserve account. Proverbs, among other places in God's word, is very clear that we should have precious oil in the house of the wise, as it says in Proverbs. Therefore, we should not consume all that comes in from God's provision. And so we recommend 3 to 6 months as an emergency fund. And then, yes, I think a next priority would be paying off consumer debt, beginning with high interest credit cards. So if you take some of this quadro that's coming your way and use it to shore up your emergency fund, then next, I would begin to pay off those credit cards, starting with the smallest balance. Let's wipe those out, get them out from under you on down the line until it's all paid off. And then I think the key for you moving forward is to live, again, within God's provision, have some margin on a monthly basis, so then you can prioritize the use of that against your other God-given goals and priorities, perhaps saving for the future or for retirement. If you have kids that you're going to be responsible, at least in part, for covering their college, beginning to put something away for that, making sure you're giving systematically, those types of things. But yeah, I like the idea of paying off those credit cards for sure.
Wow. Cody, thank you very much for calling and for hanging in with us all these years, and we wish you the best. Let's quickly go to Bettendorf, Iowa. Vicki, how can we help you?
Hi. Thanks.
Hi. Yes.
We have IRA. I have an IRA annuity that has been paying 5% interest. 10 years is up, so in January it will only be making like 1.5%. And they are encouraging me to maybe roll it over into a SPIA where I would be guaranteed maybe $400 a month for the rest of my life, which is the good part because we do not have a pension.
Yes.
But I know that there's more management fees on annuities, and I've also been thinking about just putting that money into maybe stocks and bonds or in mutual funds where it maybe would pay less service charges and draw more interest. What would be your opinion on that, since we basically don't have a pension, but we do have no debt and
yes,
assets of land that we could sell if we needed to?
Sure. So you're currently retired, is that right?
Well, I'm still working part-time, and my husband's retired.
Okay, all right. Very good. And talk to me about the sources of income that you have right now in addition to Social Security.
That's it. My part-time job. That's it.
Okay. All right. So you've got your part-time job and you've got Social Security. You're currently collecting, both of you, Social Security or no?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And with the part-time job and Social Security, is that enough to cover your expenses?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we live kind of frugally, but we're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
All right. And now, once you fully retire, what would be the gap then that you would be trying to solve for to be able to have enough to meet your obligations?
Probably $700 to $1,000 a month.
Okay. All right. Now, the only assets that you have, I heard the annuity, which perhaps, you know, this 10-year period is expiring. So you would be able to either take a lump sum withdrawal, leave it in, invested and withdraw according to a schedule, which is annuitizing it with a permanent income stream, renewing it or rolling it over through what's called a 1035 exchange into a new annuity. Either a fixed annuity or a variable annuity. You could do any one of those things. In addition to that annuity, I heard you say you have some land. Is that right?
Yes, we have land that we could sell if we needed to.
Okay. What do you believe is the value of that?
Probably about $500,000.
Okay. All right. And what is the surrender value, the lump sum withdrawal that you could take from the annuity that has expired?
Oh, I can take all of it.
And
what
is that amount?
The problem is, then I about $59,000, but then I would be paying taxes on that.
Sure, sure. All right. And they've told you that that would convert into an income stream of how much per month?
It would be about $400.
Okay, $400 a month
for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Right.
Even if it expires, I would still get that till I die.
Okay, which is actually pretty good on $59,000 because, as you said, that's before tax. And if we were to convert that to an income stream with stocks and bonds, we might look at 4%. If we want to be a little more aggressive, we could look at 5% a year, but that would only be $2,950. We take that over 12 months, that's about $250 a month, and they're going to pay you $400 for the rest of your life. The question is, does that also then carry over to your husband, or is that on your life only?
That's on my life only.
Okay. So that's a consideration. If you want survivor's benefits, you'd need to check and see what that would be because you'd want to make sure it's your death that doesn't put him in a kind of a hardship situation. The nice thing about taking the $59,000, I realize you'd have to pay taxes on it, but you could convert that to, you know, $250 a month. And the idea would be that you'd never lose that money. That would be an income stream based off of investments that would still preserve the principal, which would mean mean that it would always be there if you or your husband needed to tap into it down the road for major medical expenses, long-term care. It'd be part of your estate as an inheritance. So you've got to look at that side of it. It's not just the monthly amount, but keep in mind that goes away and is lost at your death versus taking the lump sum, investing it, turning it into an income stream, and then still having access to the principal. I think the other issue is just how you're going to make up the rest of that gap between, let's say, $250 a month or $400 a month and the $700 to $1,000. It sounds like you're going to need to take that land and sell that and then convert that into an income stream. But between all these assets, it sounds like the Lord will give you what you need. I think perhaps the next step, Vicki, is to connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Iowa and do some planning. Just go to moneywiselive.org, click Find a CKA.
And we'll be right back after this.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. You may be as desperate as the unbelievers around you with all that's going on today, but you know where to go for help. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. It's true, Satan is the ruler of this world. If you ever had any doubts about that, that's over. But our God reigns, and Satan only does what God allows. It's called spiritual warfare, and God is allowing it to take place before the trumpet sounds to get as many people into heaven as possible before it's too late. That's where you come in. This is not a time for you to be sitting on the sidelines. When your focus moves from your problems to your opportunity to lead people to Jesus, you'll be amazed how fast the joy of the Lord floods back into your life. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
We hear real stories every week of job loss and broken relationships. Perhaps you're experiencing difficult times in your life, the fear of a shaky financial future, or maybe just plain fear of the unknown. No matter what your situation might be, there is someone who's there for you, someone who can bring you an answer to the fears in your life, and His name is Jesus Christ. Placing your faith in Him is the first step in obtaining the peace found solely in a relationship with Christ, a relationship that can never be broken. God has said many times in the Bible, "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." Wouldn't you like to know someone who will never leave your side? If you would like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a part of your afternoon with us. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, who we are, what we do, how we might be able to help you, you'll find all of that when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. Lots of free resources there, ways to hear our program if you miss it the first time around, how to connect with a budget coach, how to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, and much more. moneywiselive.org. Lafayette, Indiana now. And Sharon, you've got an interesting situation here. How can we help you?
Well, I invested in some foreign currency, and that currency is going to revalue, and it's a larger sum than I thought it was going to be. So I know I want to tithe on it. I guess I feel a little guilty. Is there anything wrong in doing things like that?
Well, it just depends on the source of these funds. So if you used a legitimate exchange to invest legitimately in a foreign currency and that currency has risen in value and now you're going to liquidate your position, then, you know, you are entitled to the increase. You know, I would, in terms of evaluating this moving forward, I would probably caution you against investing, quote unquote, in foreign currencies just because the volatile nature of those types of investments, as well as the long-term performance. I think as a steward of God's money, we ought to, unless we're a professional investor or currency trader doing that for a living, I would say for the average investor, that's not a place to be just because it's more of a get-rich-quick approach as opposed to what we read in God's Word, which would be more akin to steady plotting. But as long as there was nothing unethical, Sharon, about the way that you went about this, and this is legitimately just an increase in value in an underlying asset, in this case a foreign currency, then as you liquidate that position and you have then profits, certainly I think it would be logical to think as a believer about giving based on that increase. And if you wanted to apply the principle of the tithe, you would give a tenth, what the word tithe literally means. Does that make sense, or am I missing some piece of this?
Nope, that makes sense. I just, like I said, I invested in it and not thinking that it was going to be that much more. And, you just kind of feel guilty, you know, but I understand.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I would say, though, is that if it turned out this way this time, don't assume that's the way it's going to turn out in the future, and perhaps take a more sure and steady approach the next time around. But grateful to hear that you've done well, and grateful to hear that you're going to be giving as unto the Lord.
Sharon, God bless you. Thanks so much. You know, I just hate it when that happens. You invest some money and you get a huge return and, you know, you're used to 2 to 3%. And, you know, so what do you do? What do you do? Well, you give us a call. 800-525-7000. Missouri, Sandra, good to have you there. And what's your situation?
Yes. I just want to let you know, I came from a family that never saved. They never saved anything. I didn't know anything about saving. I got married when I was 17 years old and really didn't know about money. I was in my 30s before I really got saved and then started understanding God. My husband was not a saver. He was very poor, and he just did whatever he could to make us happy and other people. So for 17 years, I started saving, and I saved cash. And now I don't know what to do. I pay my tithes, and I do support different things. I do not have a lot of money. I saved this money from the last 10 years that I worked, almost my whole check the last 10 years. And then the 7 years that my husband's been dead, I've put a little bit.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do.
Yeah. Well, Sandra, I'm so glad you called today. And let me just encourage you. You are seeking to be found faithful in honoring the Lord with what he's entrusted to you. And you're clearly trying to apply the principles we see in Scripture. You clearly want to be saving. You're a generous giver. You're living within your means. You're doing things the way you should be doing them. And perhaps if you could go back, you may change some things, but can't we all say that? And there's nothing that we wouldn't leave at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I want you to redeem everything I've done. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust in you as my provider for my sufficiency. And he will never abdicate that responsibility of being your provider and sustainer to anyone or anything else. He can be trusted, and his promises are true. The question you have to ask and answer, as do I and Steve and everyone listening here today, is what does it look like for me to be found faithful with what God has entrusted to me, however little or however much? How do I live within God's provision and honor him with whatever that is? Remember, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content with a little. little. I've learned to be content with a lot. But he had to learn that, right? And so I think as we move forward, we invite God into our financial lives. We recognize his ownership. We recognize he is our provider. And then our job is steward or manager, and we're called to faithfulness, right? Faithfulness to opportunity. So the question for you moving forward is to say, how can you do that? And what I'm hearing is you're doing exactly that. Now, specifically related to how you might make some decisions here moving forward, let me just ask, what income sources do you have? What is it that's providing the income you're living on right now? Is it only Social Security or anything else?
Only Social Security.
Okay. And you're able to cover all of your bills and obligations out of that each month? Have you been able to do that?
I don't owe anything except my monthly, like electric and stuff like that.
That's incredible.
That's the only, and I don't spend, I don't go out to eat a lot and stuff like that. I don't waste money, but I don't know how to, what to do with this money.
I understand. Well, here's what I want to do. I'm going to have you, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to hold on the line. I'm going to ask Deb to get your information, and I'm going to have one of my MoneyWise coaches connect with you. And I want them to be able to get together with you on the phone, somebody who's been trained as a budget coach, who understands God's word, is a fellow believer, and can come alongside you to encourage you, but also to help you look at what are your expenses, establish a spending plan, establish a savings plan, look at the giving that you're doing, and really give you some peace of mind so that you know you're working towards something and that you're doing everything you can to be found faithful with what God has entrusted to you. Would you be willing to do that? There's no cost, and I think it'll be a real help to you. Does that sound okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me pray for you, and then you hold the line. We'll get your information. And Father, I just lift Sandra up to you. Thank you for her sweet spirit. Thank you for her acknowledgement of your provision in her life today. Lord, she has questions, and you have answers. Lord, thank you that we can trust you as our provider and sustainer. Thank you that your promises are true and your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray you'd give her wisdom. James 1:5, Lord, you say that when we ask, you'll give us wisdom. I pray you give her wisdom and discernment each day as she moves forward. I pray that you would continue to bring provision into her life to meet all of her needs. And Lord, that she might have a peace of mind to know she's honoring you and being found faithful with everything she's been entrusted. So we just ask for you to provide for her. We ask you to be close to her. And Lord, send your Holy Spirit. We just thank you most importantly today for your son, Jesus, and the gift that he gave us by giving his life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we love you, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Sandra. You hold the line, and we'd love to hear back from you someday if you feel led to do so. Thanks so much, God. All right, let's see. Quickly, Chicago, Illinois, and Tracy, what's your question today for Rob West?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sure,
ma'am.
Can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I had a question in regards to an offer, a quote we were given, my husband and I, for refinance. I know when I spoke with you before, Rob, you recommended to go get quotes from three or four different lenders, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
The best one we've come across, thank you for that advice. The best one we've come across, we think, is I just want to read out to you because I know you mentioned sometimes there are hidden fees, et cetera, and there's something on here that's a little questionable. I didn't know our previous mortgage amount we have, current, is 181. Mm-hmm. We've only been in the home for almost 3 years. so the previous mortgage is 181. They're doing a refinance for 30 years, which I know is not recommended. However, we wanted a 15-year, but my husband is a veteran. So he told us that, you know, they probably wouldn't approve a 15-year. And even right now at the rate of a 15-year is about the same as the 30-year because there are certain fees that we don't have to pay.
Tracy, we're going to run out of time here. Can we get to those numbers real quick?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So the closing costs came out to well, we were charged the loan origination charge of $688 in a credit report. That's all normal. But then the lender's title and everything else looks normal. But the I guess the loan origination charge is maybe the pay down the mortgage, I suppose. And so the closing costs come out to the $1,564, which, you know, is going to put us at higher than what we owe on the mortgage. But it goes up about $3,000, like
sure.
Close to $3,000.
Okay. And you said the mortgage is $181,000?
It was right. It's $181,000, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound out of line, Tracy, at all. I would expect an origination charge. If you're spending no more than 1%, you're doing just fine. So you're going to want to look at the rate, make sure that it's in line. But there's nothing that sounds out of line to me on everything you just described. Hey, thanks for listening. I heard you recite a lot of principles we talk about all the time. I'm glad you're applying them.
God bless you, Tracy. Thank you very much. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow for a brand new edition of MoneyWise Live.